Hello and welcome to Video Game is One Word. I'm your host, Adam Condra. It is April 13th? Yeah, April 13th, 2021. Today, people on Twitter are mad at, I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to Twitter today. I had a migraine at work, so I was pretty tied up with that. And sometimes you don't get to participate and embroil yourself in the outrages of the day. But that's okay today because in this case I'm the one who's outraged. A little game called Threes. This was one of those benighted, beloved, championed mobile games back in the day. I want to say not too far back in the day. This was like 2013, maybe 2014 or so. It was kind of after the big heyday of like Angry Birds and Cut the Rope and all that stuff. But it was one of those games, it kind of came around the same time as Aalto's Adventure. It was kind of that last movement of mobile games that cost something. I remember it was like, I think it was $3 actually. I think that was part of the gimmick, was that it cost $3 and it was like a full complete game that you got, this neat little quirky puzzle game. It's great art style, great music, and it was a fun concept and really, really challenging. And people loved it. It was a huge hit with critics. And of course, if you actually spent any amount of time playing it, you knew that it had like, I'm not going to give an hour count, but when you play something throughout the day, when if you were to spend a day with this game, you quickly came to know that it was one of the most frustrating and infuriating games ever made because, I mean, the whole thing was you could just restart in an instant, and it was this kind of puzzle game where, you're required to think laterally and also vertically, and also in terms of not only spatial relationships with the pieces on the board, but the incoming stuff that was coming next and how it was going to change that space. And it's, I mean, in terms of game design, it's absolutely brilliant just how many dimensions they get out of this, simple slide up and down, slide to the left and the right, and the pieces move and conjoin with one another depending on whether they match or not. It's one of those games where, defeat can arrive out of nowhere and in seconds when you just happened to put the pieces in the wrong position, and you didn't account for what was incoming properly, and you weren't trying to micromanage the economy of pieces that you were trying to get, and what was going to be blocked, and what was going to be open, and all this other stuff. There's so many different layers of strategy to this, and there are probably a handful of minds in the world that are capable of coming to understand the vagaries of a game like this and to really find an ironclad strategy for it. My strategy is, I think like most people's pretty basic, which is the games tend to get longer if you try and build into a corner, so that you don't have too many big numbers floating around separated. But of course, it's only a matter of time before you build yourself into a corner, and you stop building because the board just gets too bogged up, and there's only so much you can do. And the thing is, you go through this cycle a lot more often in this game than you would with any other game of this type, I think, because it is so easy and so simple to restart as soon as you're done. And so recently, I guess I should point out why I'm talking about this in the first place. They put Threes back on Apple Arcade as one of the subscription games you get if you're subscribed to Apple Arcade. It's called Threes Plus now. And as far as I can tell, they didn't add anything. There's a dark mode now, which I think might be new, but this is pretty much the exact same game. So I noticed it this morning when I was, going through the App Store, trying to waste some time, and I said, oh, I played that years and years ago. I wonder, if it's still fun. And of course I downloaded it again and of course blinked, and it was one of those things, when I wasn't teaching today, it actually helped me get through my migraine because it kept me, occupied and it kept my brain active in a way that was beneficial to ignoring the pain. But like I said, you I probably played, 250, 300 rounds today. Just restarting, as soon as, oh, I'm dead. I was perfectly fine. I had, 75% of the board open 90 seconds ago, and now all of a sudden it's clogged and I can't do anything and I've lost. But I can just hit start and it refills the board instantly, and I can just, begin my campaign anew, that kind of thing. And this game, I remember when I first played it, when it first came out, I was never able to beat it because there is actually, a final number you can get to where you actually finish the board, and I was never able to do that. And playing it today reminded me of why, and it's because, you just stack up failure upon failure until eventually you realize you've been committed to it for, I got home this afternoon and I laid down on my bed about 4:30, and now it's like 2 hours later. I was like, I got to talk about this because it's the only way I'm going to stop playing. And it's the same result every time, and it made me realize, like, this is the game that helped me understand what it's like to have a gambling addiction. Because, I'm sitting there in bed and I'm like, I can just hit again, get right back in it, start building again, and I'll be fine. And this time I know I'll make it. And of course, I never do. And so that's the general vibe I've gotten from this, is that it's this, objectively, in terms of game design and art design and music and everything that you, all the constituent parts of a video game that you want to be good, it is wonderful. It's terrific. As something you spend any length of time with, and considerations for what you could have done with that time instead, I think it's pure fucking evil. And it cracked me up because, like, I'm gonna record this and then I'm gonna go to my phone and delete it, I promise. But it made me recall what the sort of side conversation around this game was way back when, which was that this was kind of the last. This was in that last wave of mobile games like Alto's Adventure and Ridiculous Fishing that came out and were still asking you to pay for them, and you were still getting like a complete, polished good game before, Clash of Clans and the whole free-to-play thing just became the business model and took over everything. Which is for the worse, don't get me wrong. That was definitely bad. But in this class of games, something comes out, it's polished, it's engineered for the mobile device. It's it's got everything designed appropriately for its platform, which is, I think, that's the first principle you should have when designing a mobile game, is that you want to make it fit to its environment and make sure it's something that excuse me, people want to play on their device, that they wouldn't be interested in elsewhere, right? And so Threes was able to do that, but there was also this wave of copycats that came out at the same time that were basically stealing game designs like this. Threes was one, Ridiculous Fishing was another, where people, Flappy Bird as well, people instantly made clones of these games and sold them for nothing, ad supported. So you could technically, I guess, in their market argument, get the same experience without having to pay. Which, when this was happening, there was a huge hue and cry about this, in the games writing circles, and lots of talk about how developers deserve their pay and this is, ethically trash, and it's, all of that is absolutely correct. I am not going to dispute any of that. That is the correct moral position about this. You shouldn't copy developers' work and then screw them over by releasing something for free. It's just really scummy and low down. But the thing is, I could actually beat the Threes clone that came out, and I was never able to beat Threes. And it was this thing I remember where I put, I had Threes on my phone for like a month, and I played it every day, and I was obsessive about it, and I was, I considered myself entertained. That's the thing, right? You feel like as long as you can jump back in instantly, it's as if you've lost no time at all because you can always keep trying to do it. And of course, you never get to the top of that mountain. And of course, I'm saying you, I really mean me. You know what I'm talking about. Let's just roll with it. But I got to the point with Threes where eventually the losses piled up to such an extent. And I got really frustrated and I was like, I've had this thing for a month and I'm never going to get to a point where I can really not even consistently make it to like an end game stage, right? Like I'm never getting close to beating this thing. And I remember I was one of those people back when I was, you know, writing about games and stuff. All the stuff comes out about the clones and everything. I'm not going to name the clone of threes because I don't want to give it the attention. I mean, whatever, it's been out for 8 years. It's not like I'm doing anything noble there. But just in principle, I was one of those people who was very, you know, loud and preening about how, oh, no, you need to pay for the games that, you know, have been designed by real developers and aren't just cash grabs and stuff. And threes pissed me off so much that a month after I had, you know, kind of joined that performative chorus on Twitter, I deleted it and downloaded the clone because I thought, okay, the clone ostensibly is just a copy of the ideas. It's not as well designed. Therefore, I wonder if I'll be able to beat the clone. And I ended up doing that, which I think is one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me just in terms of, you know, playing video games for this long. Is that, you know, Threes was one of these, you know, it wasn't just a good game. It was also an opportunity to express that you had a certain set of principles and ethics within your gaming consumption habits. And I found, I eventually fell so out of love with it that I took up with its pirate just to spite it. And then I ended up beating the pirate. So it was as if I had beat Threes, you know, not just practically, but spiritually as well. So yeah, that's an incredibly lame story about my relationship with Threes and how I'm always going to remember it after today, after I delete the remaster from my phone. But yeah, anyway, maybe you're a lot smarter than me and maybe you have much better luck than I do. So, you know, if you're looking for a good puzzle game that'll take some time, maybe try Threes. I tentatively recommend it. Even though I also think it's kind of a moral atrocity, and it convinced me to commit a moral atrocity of my own against it in response. So yeah, that's Threes. I really don't know what's coming next. I haven't been playing much because work has taken off. We're in the last quarter here, and I haven't had time to really do much of anything. So that's why, you know, it's few far between in episodes, but also why I don't really advertise this podcast is because it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's for me because that's the kind of obnoxious thing people say about this kind of thing. But, you know, I really don't want to be held to any kind of schedule and, you know, have to worry about that kind of stuff. I just want to be able to talk when I want to talk, when the mood strikes me about these things. So that's Threes. And other stuff, you know, I mentioned Age of Calamity, which I still haven't finished, XCOM 2, which I, you know, kind of fell off as soon as I wasn't road tripping with anymore. I finished Control as well. So I really, all my free time has been consumed with work projects that have to get done. So anyway, I have no idea when there will be another episode, but it's fine because, you know, this is for me.